Country music can mean different things to different people. Slow ballads, kick-up-your-heels dance tunes, patriotic anthems. In 1973, Texas-based singer-songwriter Ray Wiley Hubbard released this single, Up Against the Wall, Redneck Mother.
He was born in Oklahoma. His wife's name is Betty Jo Delmaliz. But he's not responsible for what he's doing. His mother made him what he is.
This song became as much a country music standard as a country music parody. When Ray Wiley Hubbard recorded it, he was keeping creative company with the likes of Willie Nelson, Waylon Jennings, and Jerry Jeff Walker. Hubbard kept writing and playing, but he soon began to feel like a one-hit wonder and began to ease that pain with alcohol. It almost destroyed him. But like a country music fairy godfather, the late guitarist and singer Stevie Ray Vaughan convinced Hubbard to put down the bottle on his birthday in 1987. Some 20 years of sobriety have sharpened his talents as a guitar player and songwriter. He's also become kind of a spiritual advisor to younger artists who call him the Wiley Lama. This summer, Ray Wiley Hubbard released a new CD called Snake Farm. It's filled with music that remains true to his honky-tonk roots and lyrics that retain his sense of humor. Ray Wiley Hubbard joins us from member station KUT in Austin. Welcome, or should I say welcome back.
Oh, well, thank you very much. I'm glad to be here.
We're glad to have you. This Snake Farm, boy, honky-tonk of the highest degree, but I have to ask you about the Snake Farm of the title. This is a real place?
There's seem to be a lot of them throughout the Southwest. There's these little tourist attractions where you visit Snake Farm, and there's one down in New Braunfels between Austin and San Antonio. I've driven by that place probably for, 20, 25 years, and the last time I drove by, and I just went, ugh, God, it just sounds nasty. And then I went, well, it is. It's a snake farm. It's supposed to be nasty. And I got the idea for the song and then made it kind of this very left-handed love song about this man who doesn't like snakes but loves this woman who works at the snake farm.
Well, woman I love is her name, Ramona. She kind of looks like Tempest Storm. She can dance like a little Egypt. She works down at the snake farm. Snake farm, it just sounds nasty. Snake farm, pretty much is snake farm. It's a reptile house, snake farm.
I never had gone to the snake farm until after I wrote the song, and then I went down there about 5 or 6 months ago and went in and left.
Tempest Storm, you real burlesque queen, Snake Farm, real place, Ramona, made up. But
it's a composite, yes.
Yeah. How much do real people and situations inspire your lyrics?
Well, it's a thing I've learned it, that songwriting is inspiration plus craft. The inspiration being what we call the great aha. You go, ah, well, that'd be a good idea for a song. And then the craft being taking that inspiration and making it rhyme and, fit the laws of music, whatever song you're trying to write. One of my favorite quotes is from Flannery O'Connor, who said, "Never second guess inspiration."
41 years old when you put down the bottle for the last time, or you picked up the bottle for the last time, and you started taking guitar lessons after everything that you knew?
Well, at 41, I'd been a working musician, but I was playing in honky-tonks. Somewhere after I got clean and sober, I said, in order to be a real songwriter, there were certain things I had to do, and one of them was to learn to play guitar better. So somewhere around that time, too, someone gave me a book called Letters to a Young Poet by Rilke, and there was a line in there about fear. And to paraphrase him, it's like, our fears are like dragons guarding our most precious treasures. And so at age 41 or 42, I overcame this fear of embarrassment and picked up the phone and called a fellow there in Dallas, Texas by the name of Sam Swank. And I said, would you give me guitar lessons? Because I'd never had guitar lessons. I just, in high school, picked up a guitar and just playing in honky-tonks. Once I overcame that fear, there were these little treasures on the other side, these little songs.
Down down in Corpus Christi, always around midnight, you'll find the devil lippin' along, cause his shoes is too tight. His hair's up in pigtails, his whiskers are in braids. He's talking about the promises he says God forgot he made. Oh, the way of the fallen is hard.
Here you are, you're quoting Rilke, you're quoting Flannery O'Connor. Do you think it would surprise people to learn that your song The Way of the Fallen is based on Dante's Divine Comedy?
It would probably surprise some of the people that come to see me perform, but I don't really think about that when I'm writing. I just will get an idea and see where it goes.
This is all about a conversation with the devil, and you really paint a picture of him with a billy goat that he feeds marmalade. And you write a lot about demons and angels?
Well, also, yeah, I write songs about God, too, but they're not gospel songs or spirituals, you know. I'm so interested in mythology and religion and spirituality that I read a lot about it.
God smiles and lights a cigarette and says there's some souls I ain't gonna get. I'd take all the little critters if I could. Some are too smart for their own damn good. They don't even believe I'm here. They ain't seen where I've been. Every once in a while I hear one say, get me out of this and never do it again. All it takes is some grains of faith and a few kilowatts of sweat and grace.
Kilowatts, you write, you give us a God that's kind of rather absentee, you know. He sits there, he's kind of watching Earth and smoking a cigarette.
Well, the idea is that he gives us the answer, that all it takes is some grains of faith and a few kilowatts of sweat and grace, that you see yourself how you would like to be, but you also have to put forth some energy. You got to participate in your own life, I suppose.
Did you grow up in a religious household?
Well, I grew up in southeastern Oklahoma, and my grandmother kind of went between the Church of Christ and the Baptist Church, and I remember going down to the Red River and the Muddy Boggy River, and there would be baptisms down there. You know, we would go to tent revivals, I guess, up until we moved to Dallas when I was 8 years old. So then that kind of quit. You know, I've, at that age now, I'm 59, and after I've had this turnaround in my life, I prefer the term spiritual awakening to religious conversion.
When did you start playing guitar? And obviously, I mean, at 59 years old, chances are you were listening to a lot of rock and roll.
Actually, initially, got involved in folk music. Of course, at that time, there was Peter, Paul, and Mary and the Kingston Trio, but then all of a sudden, Dylan came along, and then Dylan just opened the doors to the songwriters, Woody Guthrie and Cisco Houston, and that just opened the floodgates. And then there was a little folk club there in Dallas called the Rubaiyat that I started playing at when I guess I was 16 or 17. So it was primarily folk music more than rock and roll at the time.
Mama cried and daddy burned when I told them what I learned. An old stone's left in a dirty groove.
So who is the song Live and Die Rock and Roll about?
Some of us is born to run out on Highway 61. The classroom owns an MC5.
Well, it's you know Dave Marsh, right? The writer, he was editor of Rolling Stone. We were in some restaurant, and the Rolling Stone song, It's Only Rock and Roll, you know, It's Only Rock and Roll, But I Like It, came on. And Dave went ballistic. He just started saying, how can Jagger say that it's only rock and roll? It's rock and roll. And, you know, it became really impassioned. I remember that conversation. That happened about 7 or 8 years ago. But I always remembered his passion about it's live and die rock and roll. Even if you're a folk singer, you know, because it's an attitude. There's kind of these little mentions, through little acknowledgments throughout the song.
Sure. The Clash, the Ramones, I mean, you know, Muddy Waters, go on, J.J. Cale. You and your wife, Judy, have a son, Lucas?
Lucas, yes, he's just turned 13. He played on the record, on the song Old Guitar.
Mm-hmm.
That's him playing lead. He was 12 at the time. He's been playing guitar about 2 years, and that's very proud of him to be on that record.
You know, you've become the spiritual advisor to young musicians. Have you given any advice to your son about your own experiences in the business?
Get paid before you play. No, I'm just kidding.
I know you're not.
Because, you know, once you play, you have no control over it. No, to answer your question, I haven't really given him any advice.
Yeah.
Except to, you know, get his foundation in the blues, you know, in Muddy and Lightning and Johnny Hooker and Jimmy Reed, you know, to get that foundation.
Given the fact that he's 13, you know, it's a gamble whether or not he'd even listen to you, right?
Really? Really?
Ray Wiley Hubbard's new CD is Snake Farm. It's out on Sustain Records, and he joined us from member station KUT in Austin, Texas. Ray, it's been a pleasure to talk to you. Good luck.
Oh, thank you so much. It was a treat for me.
To hear cuts from Snake Farm, plus a Song of the Day podcast from the album, visit our website, npr.org. This is Weekend Edition from NPR News. I'm Leanne Hansen.